Attention mothers, we have the Intentional Motherhood Retreat in Franklin, Tennessee in April 23rd through the 25th to be exact. And if you haven't gotten tickets yet, we want to remind you, grab some tickets. We have group rates. We also have volunteer tickets. So if you're looking for a discounted ticket and want to come help a little bit, go to our website, intentionalparents.org, get your tickets. Megan Faith Marshman is going to be there. Coretta Eskridge is going to be there. Elizabeth and Diane are sharing, and other guests that you don't even know about. Plus, incredible worship. Can't wait to have you all there. And also, for the fathers, we have our first ever Intentional Fatherhood Retreat in Costa Mesa, February 19th through 21. So if you have not gotten your tickets for that, we also have group rates. We also have volunteer tickets. All you need to do is go to intentionalfatherhood.org, grab your tickets. Can't wait to see you all in Costa Mesa or Nashville. See you soon. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation.
Yeah, did y'all like the click?
That's always
I actually...
Yeah, he's
I mean,
a drummer. He'd like it quite a bit.
Brooke is a drummer.
I thought that was
dead on.
That was pretty close.
That was pretty good.
Not only tone as well. I was like, oh, he picked a different sound, but
that was
at least 81. You know, can we get an actual? Can we get a tap on that?
Plug it out. So, folks, you hear? Listen to all these voices. People are listening, and they're going. Either we know that voice and we don't know the others, or we don't know that voice and we know the giggles.
Either way, they want to be here.
They do. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, what we're doing is we're doing a combination pod. I wanted to have a clever way of saying
that. We should have come up with a
copod. It's a
copod.
Oh, it's a copod.
Yeah, there you go.
I just bought it. Well,
that reminds me of like the COVID school pod.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
now
it
just
no.
Okay. See, that's good. Elizabeth's I'm glad you're here. Let's rebrand.
We need somebody to keep it dark. So John and I with Dadville are here with Brooke and Elizabeth of both, well, I guess sort of two pods and then one, but intentional parenting and intentional fatherhood.
Yes.
Pods. And it's fun because, I mean, you sort of hinted to this earlier, but we haven't really, we've done, some co-pods. I mean, well, sort of, not really.
Like we've been on other pods and then we've had them on our pod, but I don't know that we've done
a collab
an actual,
pod. It's a collab
pod. But this is a
pod.
Very concentric a circle of common. Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think
purposes.
Of the parenting wisdom that's in this room right now.
I
my
mean,
goodness.
And then we're here too.
And then
which
we're
is
also
amazing, which I love. And
there we go.
You hey, guys, this isn't our first pod.
I gotta say this though, wait, but for anyone listening, you gotta understand. Like we're planning on releasing this exact episode on our platform and you guys on yours, which is gonna be fun. So hopefully, we should line. By the way, just as a note, we should do this on the same week.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
That'd probably be a good idea.
So people are like, I just heard this one. So that's gonna be fun too. So and every time I think of pods, I think about killer whale pods.
Yes.
And I just documentaries. Have you got?
That's
you guys
what
liked?
We're going for.
Yeah. And they're intelligent. So hopefully we'll have some overlap with that.
Sure.
We won't bring any, and I wouldn't say that people that listen to Dadville are going, man, the intelligence.
Let's go for intelligence.
Of those two is.
They more come to like feel better about themselves. You know what I mean?
Dude, yeah, I won't make this too serious, but you guys have some depth. I mean, you guys gave it. Hey, by the way, thanks for the coffee.
How about that? How about shout branded out. Coffee?
A branded
Coffee.
Shout out to Methodical Dave and all of our friends over at Methodical.
I'm having a hard time. I mean, because we don't give anyone gifts like this. Like, we have missed it. Branded coffee.
Yeah.
So I just want to say you
not
guys
very intentional
we are
of
upping
us.
Our game.
Hey, there she is. There she is.
That is a big deal that she just had that moment.
She this
almost 19 years married to you. That will do it.
That's the moment.
Elizabeth is elegant and beautiful and sweet and kind and smart and all those things.
And funny about twice a year.
Yeah, and quick.
That, but that was a good one.
That was
really
it.
Good.
That was your
audience
one.
Of three and all the people listening.
Thank you.
So do me a favor for the Dadville listeners.
Yes.
Tell us about these two podcasts. Like what is it y'all are doing? Like what does that look like?
Sure.
How does that move? What's the
what if you took Intentional Parents Podcast and I could take Fatherhood, and then if not, we can just switch.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
fine with that?
Well, I mean, I think the name itself describes some of what we're about. But you know, we're intentional about a lot of things in our lives. We think about where we're going to go to school. We think about our careers. We think about who we want to marry. And oftentimes we get to parenthood and we just survive, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the growth that happens as a person. I mean, just being a parent is, there's so much formation that happens in you as you are unfolding who your kids are. But really, wow, taking...
That's beautifully said, by the way.
Yeah. And it's painful, right? Mm. For anything to form and to grow, that's not done with ease. Mm. That's done with pain and pressure. And so the struggle is very real and very normal. Mm. But, you know, what's the saying? That everyone ends up somewhere, but a few people end up there on purpose.
Wow.
And so just like the whole goal of a parent of like, if we can get out of the weeds for a minute and be thinking about like, what are we actually trying to do? We're actually trying to create thriving humans who are going to greatly impact the world someday.
Wow. Yeah.
And right now they're two and we're changing their diapers and we are not sleeping. But so we started it with my parents, actually, multi-generational, in 2019, before the world shut down. Really just wanting to have conversations about how do we do this intentionally, especially how do we, as Jesus followers, help our kids just grow in the ways of Jesus from an early age so that by the time they're adults, it's actually something they want for their own life. Mm.
So it was the two of you and your parents.
And my parents.
And,
yeah.
Well, and a detail is like, to be fair, if you listen to any of our stuff and any of our listeners, like we are not a parenting ministry, meaning like we're not just trying to give tips. We are like a spiritual formation around the family ministry for the adult, for the parent. So of course we talk about parenting, but just like Dadville, you're talking to the dads, you're talking to people that are like, we're all about spiritual formation in the family. Now, of course, that's like, how do you pass that down to your kids? But that starts with you, right?
Yeah.
That starts with each of us. And so that is an angle, because some people will hear it and be like, I want more tips about how to discipline my toddler. It's like, your toddler is so different than my toddler. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, but I want to make that, I think that distinction's helpful.
No, it's super important, because you can't pass on what you don't possess yourself.
She's going to have these one-line zingers the whole time.
Oh, I just feel like I need to lay down.
Yeah,
this
is going to happen a lot. Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah, just write them down.
So how did the idea come about?
So my parents started the nonprofit, Intentional Parents, way before the podcast. They started with a conference, like a weekend conference for parents to come to. We went to the conference like every couple years when our kids were little, just needing like a refresher.
Yeah.
Then they eventually wrote a book, and that was kind of the extent of their ideas for it. And then they, long story, but we'd been in pastoral ministry for a very long time, and they kind of convinced us to come alongside them and help them. They're like, we don't really know what this is supposed to become. So we joined them super part-time, still doing ministry full-time. Yeah. And Brooke threw out the idea, I don't know, in maybe 2018, like, hey, we should start a podcast. My parents were like, what do you mean? Why would anybody listen?
Well, and we were just like, we would love to do this together. The multi-generational piece was interesting.
Yeah.
And the conversations are so much different when you have, you know, so many different years represented in a conversation. And so I remember the first time, like Phil, her dad has been in ministry for like 50 years.
He's a weed.
He's 75. He has more energy than all of us in the room. Like when we travel together, it is honestly exhausting. Like I'm like, dude, you got to chill out. But he has a ton of energy. And so he's like, well, you know, let's give me like 20 hours for each episode, because I want to really, you know, prepare notes. He's thinking of like sermon prep. And we're like, no, you get one topic and we're just talking. And he's like, what are you talking? Like, what do you mean? And so we literally were like, this is the topic. We sat down and we had our first conversation like this, four people in a room. And I mean, the Spirit showed up and it was really gracious and fun. And they're great humans and great people. And so that's where it started. And honey, I don't know I don't know if you saw this book. I wanted to tell you, this is an amazing book. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. This guy, John Mark Comer, wrote it.
You should meet him.
Yeah, I should meet him. I've always wanted to.
I see it right on the desk here.
John Mark actually, he's like, if you'll leave that as a sight line for me, it'll move.
A little extra promo.
We get 17 cents for every
mention. Yo, that's great.
For every eyeball. And we want to get paid, but I don't want to hurry that. Just whenever he can
slow it down just a little bit.
The fun joke about this is John Marcus actually lives with his brother. So that, if anyone's like, why is that funny?
Yeah,
we just had, sorry. Mm-hmm. It's not always funny when you have to share the joke, but I'm sure there's just a host of people going, why does that matter?
Funny?
Different last name.
So did then intentional fatherhood, did that come out of that?
Yeah. So intentional is a nonprofit, and what we do is create content, podcast written stuff, and we do events. So conferences, we have a motherhood conference, fatherhood now, and we do marriage retreats. And so just basically holistic opportunities to help family. And so what happened was I'd been thinking through for a long time, man, fatherhood is something that is so beautiful, challenging. It's what I love about Dadville is that you guys make, your tagline is, you know, say the tagline, because it's even
it's right there. Is it on there?
It's not on the coffee. But look, I looked.
I don't even know what it is.
We couldn't, legal couldn't clear it for the coffee.
We had a trademark.
Yeah, my,
funny thoughts, deep talks.
There it is. Thank you. I didn't remember it. I knew it. I know it in German because that's where we did get it cleared.
You're in charge of Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. This. I just want to be here for the rest of the evening just for this conversation.
You don't. You really don't. I really. You feel like that now, but in about 13 seconds.
We peak early.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Okay.
Wow.
So with fatherhood, just to keep it on track. Yeah. It's so challenging and it's beautiful and it's like something that I'm honored to do, but I did not have good models growing up. My story was very similar to many, where pretty traumatic childhood, a lot of different trauma growing up. And so coming into fatherhood, I was like, I don't have models, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was very much, I was sheepish about it for a long time. Of like, let's start some specific content around this idea of fatherhood, knowing that transparency and vulnerability and my story was going to be, at least to be full of integrity, going to be on display there. And so I was like, who do I want to do this with? I was like, I need to find somebody that would make me incredibly insecure just because he...
Wait, did you get that call?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were in
deep into the deal.
So first, John turned it down. Then I talked to Dave. And after
I never got that text.
Yeah. After Dave turned it down, I called Justin Whitmell early, who is just... he's like...
We've had on.
He's on the show. Wonderful. So you heard him. And, you know, we had met at a conference we were speaking at, and we just like... truly hit it off. I mean, the maker of all makers of friends is Joey Odom, who was just here.
The connector.
And we were at this group hang. It was actually the first time I met you, Dave.
Yeah.
And we had shared a cold plunge, but it was made for one man.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there was some interesting.
That'll accelerate the friendship.
Yeah. I can't. I'm glad this isn't filmed.
Glad you didn't show me with your hands.
Yeah, I did. There was some stuff. And Joey said some things that couldn't be on the internet either, but. Anyway, we had this wonderful conversation after the cold plunge, not during, after the cold plunge. But honestly, like, there was a moment where I was praying through, like, what is the next thing for this and fatherhood? And it just dawned on my mind, I was like, if I could do it with somebody, I think somebody like Justin, where there's just so much similarity, but also differences. And what I loved about Justin specifically was he was like, leading from a place of vulnerability and weakness. He wasn't like, dude, I'm the best dad in the room. Like, I got it all figured out. He's like, no, I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Can we figure it out together? So that was like a heart posture where I was like, okay, I can relate with that because I'm failing all the time as a dad and I'm over responding and I'm dysregulated and I'm not doing all, you know, I had all that stuff going on internally. So I pitched the idea. I was like, let's do this. What do you think? He's like, do I have to do any of the work? I was like, you just got to show up and we'll record. We'll make all the other things happen. And it was enough for both of us to be like, yes. And so we got a little cabin. He flew out to Bend, Oregon, where we're at. We live in Bend. And we did the first season, man. And it was just such an amazing, like, synergy moment, content, thoughts, ideas. And it was just this cool moment of, wow, like, it was beautiful. So we launched the Intentional Fatherhood podcast. And it's just been so cool to see the army of men just kind of raise their hand and go, I really want to join that. We're doing our first event in Costa Mesa in February, just getting to hundreds of fathers together from all over the country and getting together. So that's what Intentional Fatherhood is. That's that podcast. You can listen to it. But then also that's the parenting. And we find ourselves in this weird space where we're raising kids and basically sharing through weakness and failure and trying different things to help others in that journey. So that's what Intentional is about.
That's probably the most intimidating word that I want to be. Like intentional, but it looms over me like a Godzilla always chasing me and terrifying me, but it's got two small arms to grab me. So I survive. But it is, I think if anybody said, you know, you have like a magic wand that you can use once to bop your life and make something better, that's not like, you know, you'll never have to worry about money again. You know, the cheat codes.
Yeah.
I really think it would be intent, like the ability to better execute what I intend to do.
Yeah.
Or even really just slow my life down enough to have intentions. Mm. Yeah. Because it's such a, like when I meet men who are really intentional, it is so profound and powerful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think y'all doing that is so helpful because, I mean, I had this thought yesterday and I've had so many older, wiser people even tell us on the pod, but like, life just gets faster. It doesn't get slower.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
sure maybe like grandparent age, it slows down. But
yeah.
I just know this next chunk of years are going to go. And I mean, this fall has been the fastest fall of my life, you know, other than the one with my wife. That's free.
Come on.
I do like to talk about her in kind ways here, which is great. 20 years, by the way.
20?
Wow.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. What about you, John? How long have you guys been married?
They're close.
We're coming up on 20 in April.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're almost 19 in February.
Yeah.
19. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. But, you know, I just, it just, stuff goes quick. And so I just, I'm always like, man, I would love to have more. It's just so easy to not do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Inertia moves really easily that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think oftentimes we hear intention or I want to be intentional or I want to be more present. And we equate that with perfection, right? Like if I'm not doing it all the way, I'm just doing a terrible job. And I think our heart is for that not to be the message because the reality is our kids do not need to have a perfect parent who is present 100% of the time.
I told you, John.
Right.
I told you.
Right. Yeah.
He pushes all the time.
Gosh, he always pushes.
Very true.
Like, you can do better, Dave. You can do better.
All right, guys. I'm a one on the Enneagram. There's always room for improvement. Amen. Always.
Amen. And as her husband, I can attest to being her, you know, her
it's true.
Magnum opus.
But when
look at what I have done.
Look at it.
You guys see this?
Imagine in another 19 years.
Oh my gosh. That is so good and frustrating. That's two times of being very funny. Wow.
We'll have to replay this back for the kids.
I really want, you know, I think we need to do start a separate podcast simply of just us four just to hear
just
all the fun
stuff.
You're
in the zone.
You guys are pulling stuff out of her
It's just,
I think it's the helicopter.
It is.
Microphone.
She feels sadly. We'll
give a photo on socials of that. That is, I mean, these are great headphones.
Anyway. Definitely playing this in the car for what's the word for our kids? Clout. Like, is that the right word?
Aura farming.
Yeah,
aura.
There we go.
We
there
just
we
released
go.
An episode literally this week on aura farming. It is
called aura farming.
I had no idea what it was. He had to explain it to me.
You know what? You can just head over to the old intention.
Yeah, you podcast. Know?
No, there just we kidding. Go. Good little pitch. No, aura farming is basically, well, first of all, you get this kid's like, I got like level 10 aura, right? Like these are
I've
phrases.
Heard aura.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then there's like aura farming, and that's that idea where you're teasing out that you are just so much more impressive and put together. And I mean,
you're like putting out a vibe kind of.
Yeah. But it's like putting
creating
it out.
Creating it.
The word the selection going with farming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like doesn't, you're cultivating it.
You're
like
yeah.
making
your
sure that's what people see.
Yeah. And
right.
Yeah. It's basically the person that presents only one side of their life, whether that's a social presentation or a social media one. It's huge in the sense of TikTok and Instagram because it's like, oh, you're aura farming. You're just showing me a part of your life. That is not the full of your
context.
Life.
So it
does come from the deep, dark place of TikTok. And that's where it comes from. And I think in that context, it's strong.
So something I was going to say to your point, pre-OF. AF.
Or is it PH?
I think of aura rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Aura farming.
Yeah.
I think something, you know, when I think of intention, I kind of wish that, you know how like, boy, where did this analogy come from? But you know when you used to be a Microsoft Word? Mm-hmm. Old.
Yeah, yeah.
And the little paperclip would pop up.
Yeah.
You go, it looks like you're typing something. Do you need help typing it? Or you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a little sticky note
next
to him?
Yes, that's exactly right. I kind of wish that every time I thought of the word intention that, and I think the Holy Spirit does this, but there would be a little something that popped into my head and went, remember, because I think you're kind of alluding to this. I think we also underestimate that the power of just being physically there.
Yeah.
One, like just how profound just that is. So even when you're not doing a great job, you're not just the fact that like, hey, dad and mom are around and dad, you know, it's just, he's here and she's here. One.
Yeah.
But I think two, I do think there's a real struggle I have with that word where it becomes so intimidating.
Yes.
That I forget that there are things that we're all doing that they're very intentional.
Yes.
Because then it becomes, you know, and I think that's always been a struggle of mine with that space, is that it turns in my brain, I'm speaking very much from my experience, but it turns into like, if you're not going on a four-wheeler trip with your son into the desert and doing a three-night thing, that's intentional parenting. If you're not taking your daughter to New York for her 15th birthday and doing like a sit down and talk to her about
some kind of a scripture-based scavenger hunt.
Yes. Absolutely.
And guess what?
So, hey, somebody listening right now is like, "What's? I was just
like, that's a great idea.
Should we cancel it this weekend?"
At the end of it, she finds her first boy she can court.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
No, she finds her promise ring.
Yeah. Well done.
Girl,
well
that's
done.
Third. I'm just counting amazing.
Just kill it.
Third.
But, and again, those are such amazing things. They're beautiful. Right. And I mean, I think that would be great if we could all do that. But I just think I can already feel how, I hate this, but the devil, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our own sin, whatever it is, that makes us think like, because then the bar is so firm that any attempt is under it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it can be wonderful, you know, having a, like you driving Luca to school, just literally going like, hey, what are you excited about today?
Yeah.
Like, how's your day going to be? Or driving her home. That is incredibly intentional.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think what happens with, I would say probably social media and these things, is that the version we get, the aura farming.
Yes.
That we see is like,
great
you know,
callback.
We just, that those become markers and anything under that is a fail.
Can I say something? Because this is exactly, you're naming right now, which is so powerful, the exact thing we unintentionally do. I mean, I know you guys don't do it unintentionally.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. And I know that we are very much against, which is like, we do not want to prop up aura farm, this idea that we are better parents than we are.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, when you, sometimes people that have microphones and then have little spaces where people will listen, whether that's a podcast or a social media platform or even a church or wherever you get that music, wherever it is, sometimes people assume because of that, you guys know this, that there's something worth being heard. And they'll say statements and they'll say all the good things that happen, but they'll leave like how deep the struggle was.
Yeah.
So you'll get these beautiful ideals and you'll be like, that's great. But I got to be honest, like on my journey, it's been so messy and so hard. Mm-hmm. And I see that you put the beautiful ideal there for me, but now I can't attain it.
Yeah.
And because I failed, does that mean I failed the whole way? And I can't tell you, especially with what we do, when we get to meet people or we do events and we get to connect. I mean, half the questions are not, it's not like, hey, can you give me advice about this? It's like, hey, I'm trying to do this thing, but I got to be honest, it's like really messy. And you're like, the fact that you are trying,
that's the one,
makes you 90% better than most, you know. And just kind of setting it straight that we are all failing, and those ideals are for us to just, you know, walk towards, even if that is a scavenger hunt in New York City. You know, I mean, cool, do your version of that. But sometimes I think when we can paint a really clear vision and not be clear about what the process of getting there looks like and how messy it is and how confusing and painful it is, we don't do people a service.
Well, because don't you feel like the great ideas, the wins, I mean, there are great ideas. Scripture-based scavenger hunt. Great. That's great an idea on the table. You can take it if you want. But like the wins, where when it went great, those feel so specific to your situation or whatever.
Yes.
But then you feel this pressure to impose it onto my family. The losses, the like failures, those are like wonderfully universal.
Yeah.
And it's so much, I mean, whatever vulnerability you guys share on your podcast, whatever vulnerability and failures we share on our podcast, those are helpful.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Those
100%
help me so much.
What I think too, that intent, you know, this is the problem with any of this kind of thing. But I think like God made everybody so unique in their bends, Oregon. But like, and so I think also a real struggle can be. You know what I think would be really cool is this little niche thing I think is fun that would be fun to do with my oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
But like, man, if I go talk to guys who did like, you know, we did the, what's the, in Spain, the, The long walk.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We did that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like called. Amazing. You know, and
you've done
like,
it so many times. How I not remember?
I know.
Think about it.
It's going to come to us all at the end.
Yeah. Or like, you know, we did, me and that. My son did like a, you know, a half marathon. These beautiful things.
Right. You just did an Ironman. I mean, just well, saying, John. That,
yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, my kids weren't technically present, but.
They were in my heart. They were in my heart.
Right here. Right here.
But I think, you know, to go, there's also such power in realizing that, you know, the uniqueness of each of us and how we intend things is also such a reflection of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't have to be this sort of like rote, hey, you know, and I think those things are great guides, but I think that's what's so beautiful about what you guys are doing. And I think it's so helpful as a dad is that it's not like, hey, come do our prescribed trails.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And John Tyson, and your brother, like everybody does such a good job of saying, like they'll tell you, let me tell you what I did, but.
It's called the Camino, by the way.
Yes,
the Camino.
There you go.
The Camino, there it is. Yeah,
but
go.
Like,
John,
you know,
had it.
They do a good job of saying, but you don't hear that.
Yes.
Because all you think is like, oh my God.
Oh, they did this epic thing. You know, like, but what you're naming is like,
that's good.
If you intentionally are really knowing who each of your kids are, who your spouse is, what your family culture is, then you are going to intuitively know what would be good for each of those kids. And for some kids, it might be some big, huge thing. That's your family culture, your finances might allow for that.
That's right. That's
but they also might not. And that kid might not need something like that. Like all the spectacular things we get to experience in our lives are beautiful, but we live most of our life in the ordinary.
That's right.
And so when we can just take some of that intention to the ordinary moments.
Oh, that's great.
And
that's
especially really good. The ordinary moments where we blow it.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking of just last week, I was driving in the car with our
Precious
son,
girl.
Who's 16.
I like this story. You're going to like this. You're going to like this story.
In the car with his girlfriend.
Oh, we're in that stage, by the way.
And I'm driving. Well, we're also in the stage where he can drive and has his license, but he can't drive with anybody else in the car yet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm driving her home because he can't drive her home yet.
Right.
So we're driving her home and I make a stupid comment.
Oh.
A joking, like I was joking, trying to be sarcastic. In the Comer family, we call it homeschool sarcasm because we were all homeschooled.
They and miss it every time.
When we're sarcastic, we end up just being mean.
You got to be kind of, you have a lot of trauma in your past to be good at this, which identifies why I think us three men in the room have some, I don't know your stories, but
too
I can
good
see,
of a childhood.
Yeah. If you have a good childhood, you're not good. At, anyway, keep going, sweetie.
So I meant to be funny, but as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, he feels disrespected. He feels embarrassed.
No. Yeah,
that was a total miss.
Yeah.
So I end that topic of conversation. We're driving. We drop his girlfriend off, and as soon as I could just tell, I could like see it on his body. He's mad. He's hurt. The minute he gets in the car, I just said, "But I really missed it, didn't I?" Mm. And he's absolutely, you did. And he tells me all the reasons why. He's really upset, and I just tried to own it over and over again. You are so right. Yeah. I meant to be funny, but it came out hurtful.
Yeah.
There's a hint of truth in every joke, and it's like a soft spot for you. But what transpired in that moment, I had to stay calm and listen to him, even though I was profusely apologizing and he just needed to tell me how mad he was. Well, then what came out was him telling me, actually, Mom, that's like a part of my character that like deeply bothers me, and I'm grieved over it, and I don't want to act like that, and I really am working on it. So when you tease me about it, it just feels hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
We end up having this beautiful conversation where I got to hear so much more of what was in his heart that I would have completely missed if I hadn't just taken a minute to recognize, this is a moment. Right here. It feels like it might be a moment.
Yeah.
And also that moment could have been him remaining angry and us not having a conversation about it. Yeah. It could have been a moment like that.
Yeah, sure.
But it ended up being this beautiful drive home where we had this really intentional conversation that happened very organically when I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I can't think of many things. I mean, we talk about this a lot, but I can't think of many things that are more intentional as a parent than apology.
To repair.
100%. Yeah.
Like that is
they get to see that you
yes.
messed up.
Yes.
And they get to see a side of you where, you know, maybe, you know, he sees you as like a human being who like is in the car with this person that is not part of the family. So you try to be funny for a second and like, he knows what that's like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a universal feeling as a human being trying
100%.
To relate to, you know.
Yeah. And showing him what to do with it. And then I had to ask him if I could text his girlfriend and apologize to her. Mm. He's like, that's okay, but just make sure she doesn't think that I asked you to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It's a really weird thing when your kids are dating and you have their, I don't have his girlfriend's number, but she does.
I do.
But I mean, that's weird. You're like, you know, there's a relationship there. But I want to just say, yes, repair. I mean, that is the thing I do probably 80% of the time. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but that is like my experience. And I'm so often doing things the wrong way. So I don't want to derail the conversation, but I also am super curious about Dadville and where this started for you guys. Because, you know, we're sitting here talking, and the thing that we're going to keep finding is all these, I think, real truths that we all collaborate in, even independently, where we're just like, yes, we believe repair as an example, right?
Yeah.
So where did this start for you dudes? Like, you guys are two incredibly accomplished musicians. You have these lives, careers. You didn't need to do a podcast. Well, maybe you did. I don't know emotionally if you did, but
like, we are in debt to a lot of people.
Yeah, we're not quite in the black yet. We're getting close.
But you guys, like, obviously this started from a place. Most of the time when you're starting things like this, it's not usually, I mean, some people, but you know, it wasn't like you were needing this to, like, okay, we got to get on the map, right? You were doing stuff that, like, we're going to need this to have a little bit of our ego, you know, connected.
No, that's still there. That's still there.
Yeah. Thanks for the transparency.
It felt like a very, very organic start.
Yeah. What was the, tell us the start. What was the origin? Like, whose idea? Like, give us how did it come together?
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying. Honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me, God says, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you.
It was Dave's idea. But we, you know, I live right across the street.
Okay, I didn't know that detail.
Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
And so
you just walk right over.
I mean,
there.
But we've known each other for 20 plus years.
I love that.
And have, you know, played music together throughout the years, and then we find ourselves living across the street from each other. We have our kids who hang out all the time. You know, we found ourselves spending a lot of time on each other's porches.
Yes.
Just like watching our kids play, talking about being dads, you know. And then, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was all I needed, and Dave wanted to monetize it.
I see.
So many things in my life, I took the just beautiful moment and then put a price tag.
Could we make some money out of this?
John, I love that. Would you not say that, because I have an idea? Don't keep that to yourself.
Don't finish it.
I want to get the real reaction from me on a mic.
For different reasons. There's one day I was sitting right there where you're sitting, and Dave was like, "Would you want to do a podcast called Dadville together?"
That's so good.
And I was like, "Absolutely."
You guys already had the recording gear. This is a great little studio.
Listen, I was like, I built this place for this.
I don't know if you guys had this experience, but like the we were like, oh, we're both great at banter and conversation.
Yeah.
First episode, let's have it just be the two of us.
Oh, John, I forgot about this.
Please,
and
say
I
more,
do feel
more.
Like you were like, you were a little more like, well, let's prep something. I was like, we don't need to prep. Let's just turn the mics on and just talk.
Let's go hard.
So we did.
I forgot about this.
We did, and we talked for probably an hour. And Dave, you know, stops, and we're like, "All right, that's good." Yeah. How'd you feel? Yeah, I felt. That's pretty good.
You could
good.
Immediately
pretty
feel,
good, right?
Yeah.
You think we should do it again?
Yeah, we had a couple. I forgot about that. We had a couple early on that it was kind of like, whew. I mean, like after, you know. Like after a first date with somebody, you're like, I wanted that to go better, and they wanted it to go better, and you're both like, we should get together. What are you doing? I won't call. No, I'll call. I should call. No, you call. You know, as you're leaning in to kiss and then walking off. And then from there. But same, COVID was kind of when we started, and it's funny. I think the thing that's been one of the things that's so fun is there's a lot of things. I mean, just getting to do this with John and spend time, you know, with him is so much fun. But it's just, you know, like anything, it's just morphed a lot. Because I think initially it leaned fun. And it was like we had a lot of friends we had on, so there was a real familiarity.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And, you know, it would always kind of land. We'd spend some time in sort of the paternal world of like, you know, what is parenting like for you? You know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of morphed into this thing where we kind of think of it in quadrants. It's kind of like we have, you know, friends. We have like, you know, kind of like entertainers or whatever. But we have experts. We started having moms on a couple years ago, which was amazing. I don't know why we didn't do it. I mean, I think the name of the podcast made me feel like, well, should we add?
No.
And then we've done couples, which has been really fun. And so it's just, it's fun. It's fun to see it kind of morph. It's fun to, you know, have sort of different shades, because I think some are really funny.
Yeah.
That don't go very deep. Some get really deep, and then some are in the middle, and then, you know, you have people talking about books where they'll, you learn something really specific that's really cool that they have expertise on. And I think for me, I didn't see any of that happening. And so I think it's fun to kind of look back over these, you know, 5 or 6 years and go like, man, this thing has really turned into this pretty robust.
Yeah.
I think if somebody went through all the episodes, they could kind of find a little bit of whatever they were looking for.
To me, what you're describing truly is like, that is real life. That is fatherhood. Yeah. That is parenting, right? Like sometimes it needs to be just really funny, because that's how you got to deal with that moment.
Right.
Sometimes you got to learn. And I think you guys have done, I mean, from a distance, I can't even remember when I first came across you guys. Somebody sent me. So it was probably John Mark. He said, he's like, you'll love this.
you who are funny and not as intelligent.
You will love. No, he's like, I think he sent me his interview.
Fodder for the masses. Yes.
Like, this is one of their better ones.
You're going to really like.
Okay, they surprised me.
This show's been brought to you by John Mark.
What is actually true about John Mark, though, which is funny. It's funny to joke like this. He doesn't tell anybody any of the stuff he does, including his family.
Really?
We find out stuff from other people.
Yeah, like, hey, did you realize he did this epic thing that barely anyone does in the world? You're like, no, because he has this real gift of, he has this practice
the discipline of secrecy.
Of secrecy, which he believes in not sharing any cool things that he ever does with anyone, including his family.
I think I have, what is the opposite of that gift?
Yeah, that's what you
that's
have.
That's what I have, the megaphone.
And I got to be honest.
The gift of megaphone.
Both are gifts.
It's a spiritual discipline. You have a spiritual discipline.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a story that he will, I don't care if he knows, don't tell him. If you hear this, don't tell him. But I was at his house. I was in LA with Duke, and I go to throw something away. And when I go to throw something away, there's like 4 magazines, which he is on the cover of, and they're in the garbage. And I'm like, what is this? And I had no idea it was on any of these. So I throw it away. And so I was like, Tammy's his wife. I was like, what are these? She's like, did he throw those away again? People keep sending those to us. He just keeps throwing away. He doesn't want around. I was like, this is so classic. And this is all to say, like, I'm poking fun. And at the very same time, I want to say he is honestly exactly who he preaches to be. Yeah. And one of the best parts about him is that who he actually is a person who lives in this every day. And I mean, it's both beautiful and uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable for him as much as like it calls you up.
Well, it's funny.
It calls you up.
So that is the other thing I was going to say about us doing the podcast, which I know was, again, not something I really thought about, but I didn't have intention.
Crikey, dude. Good job.
Well done.
Anyway, no, was that I would learn so much because, you know,
John Mark
was kind of one of our first. I feel like he and I mean, we just had a few that kind of early on I was like, whoa,
like, yeah,
this
helpful.
Can be that too. Mm-hmm. And I think, and you know, John and I say this a lot, but it really has just been such a blessing to us.
Yeah. Mm.
And how much we've learned. I reference things that I've learned having people on at least every day.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to think about because I think it was just kind of God's sort of subterfuge. You know, just fooling me into like, why don't you do a podcast? He needs it.
He needs it. Yeah, I mean, it surprised me. We just had Stephen James back on after, you know, 5 years or so. He was one of our first.
Okay.
And I remember that being one of the early episodes that I...
Oh, man.
Stuff that I learned in that conversation, I have thought about every single day.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Since.
I so hear
So that. There's that, and then... Thankfully, it's morphed into this thing where, like, I can be reading this book by Dr. Lisa DeMore.
Yeah.
Yes.
And be like, my wife is texting me like, you need to get this person on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. And then she comes on the podcast and, you know, her, that's an example of like what she has put out into her books.
Yeah.
Talking about intentionality and, and being intimidated by intentionality.
Yes.
She can like simplify it down to like, hey, here's what it's like for your middle schooler right now when you're when you're driving to school. Mm. Here's what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
So maybe be intentional about say two words.
Yes.
I like
What are the two words? What are the two words? I didn't hear the episode yet. Tell me.
It could be good morning.
Okay.
That could be it. Sorry. I mean, it's like don't try to have that talk on the way to school. They're already they're anxious about their day.
So good.
Middle school's the worst. Yeah. Just simple things where you're like, oh my gosh, of course.
Or when they're really upset, what was it? That stinks. Is that what she said? And just leave it at that.
Oh yeah.
Like those two words. Just don't give them advice. Just be
and
with
that
them.
Can be being intentional.
Yes.
As a parent in that moment.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. I love the idea of having a podcast about the podcast that you guys had with her.
Yeah, we do that a lot. We'll do a review. We'll go.
Okay,
we're gonna live. We're gonna listen to ourselves, but comment over ourselves.
There you go.
It's like the director's cut.
Yes, the director's cut.
Well, I will market it for you. That podcast episode was amazing.
Yeah,
that was I sent it to so many people, Brooke included.
Oh yeah, I just literally haven't had a chance to listen to it on this trip.
But what I appreciated about you guys, because I've heard you on other episodes too, you guys are hilarious. The banter back and forth. If you haven't been able to tell. you do not take yourselves too seriously. Yeah, you know.
You guys do a good job.
Good little friend.
Now I know why you guys never film. Yeah, by the way, all of our audio or video people are like, why aren't we watching this? That's because this is an audio setup and we're in Nashville at your place, which is epic. But
and
I see
you
how
feel
you do
so
it.
Free.
I do. I'm not
I'm
sure.
Shirtless. Shirt.
I'm
awesome.
Shirtless. Yeah. The only woman here is my wife. And I was like, why would I be wearing a shirt with my brother's shirt?
Ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I was like, we have to. And you won't know if we're telling the truth right
and
now or not.
And letting me sit on your lap the whole time. So kind. Really kind.
I was trying to say something nice about
Meg,
them.
We were the worst on that one. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just loved that you guys were still 100% yourself, could take your humor, but interview somebody like that and pull out all the best things about her.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about what you guys are doing is you're bringing it all down to real life, which is where the majority of us actually live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's how we need to hear that content. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know?
Which that's very kind.
Which is a kind way of saying.
You can't help but dumb it down, guys.
That is not what I'm saying.
Dadville, it's not a place for...
If you have more than one degree, it's not for you.
No, do that. Ivy League. Stay out.
All right. Can we
That's very kind.
No. Well, that's what we're trying to do. It really is.
And you're
it
accomplishing
really
that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Not to harp specifically just on that episode, but what I loved about it was everything you guys pulled out of her, the questions that you asked her, is all stuff that could help somebody tomorrow.
Yes.
Most parents are not going to read her book, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that everybody would.
Right.
Well, the majority of people, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I will say,
you're right.
Doing a podcast with Dave Barnes is pretty easy. I mean, I never have to worry about...
Do you like coked up rabbits?
Exactly.
You're like greyhounds who done a line in the bathroom.
I'm like, you know...
Wow.
I don't know what the analogy is, but I never have to worry about carrying the load.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not my...
you know what, though? I know John feels this way if you talked about it, but I think what you're hearing is a genuine need for help.
I mean, when you say she's answering things that are going to help somebody tomorrow, it's because she helped me this morning.
100%.
I think I said that in the interview. I literally... When we interviewed her, I was still like midway through her book.
Yeah.
And I'm like... I was at the grocery store with my oldest literally the night before, and something you said in your book that I had read that day changed my reaction to something that my daughter said in the grocery store in that moment.
Love that.
So it's like in real time, you know, it's but helping us.
There's two things I want to highlight too, that you're right. Unfortunately, the amount of people that actually go through books and read them is like entirely so low.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I love the medium of podcast, because I will say this, I know you're knocking yourself a little bit, Dave, but I will say this to praise you. You're the type of person that learns actively.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you'll read, but dude, how you apply what you read is by talking about it and having real life conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm similar in that way. Like, I've learned to love reading, but I also like the way I get it into my bones and into my body and my soul and spirit is by talking it out, by thinking about it.
Yeah.
So the podcast is actually, for us, even selfish. It's like, whoa. And it's accountability of like, yeah, I got to like process this out loud. And so I also think I learned that way, and everyone learns differently. And also just on the note of people that just say really helpful things for the day. The other day, so my son, this example is he is a man. He's 6'1". I'm shorter than him. He calls me his short king.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That feels like something people say to each other in prison.
Yeah. And then he
said that, or Big Daddy.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
I don't like that. And then he says, that's, you can fit in my pocket. And I was like, I hate everything that you're saying right now. He's got a great sense of humor. I'm absolutely going to turn him to this episode for sure. But he specifically though, we were just missing each other. You know, like I'm trying to be the dad and hold the line, and like he's wanting to become a man, and you guys remember your lives at 16, testosterone, life, freedom, jobs. Like, so he's just about to, a year and a half from now, emerge into technically being an adult. Although, you know, mentally, emotionally, we hope, but he'll be legally in that space. And so he's just doing what most of all of us did as men. He's wanting to just have more freedom, more space, you know, more autonomy. That's not bad, but it comes in process, not just because he wants it. And so we've been missing each other because my dad was super absent during that stage of life. So I don't have any models. So I call one of our dear friends, and I think every podcast we've been on this trip, we've
referenced Sally. Sally. She's a therapist.
But I called her and I just said, Sally, I'm going to hang out with my son tonight. And I just need to know, like, I'm wanting to go into this meeting and I'm wanting to tell him, A, B, C, like, you're missing it on this. We need to talk about that. Here's the goal on that. Like, I'm doing what I would assume a dad needs to do in that moment. And just like this gal who you're talking about, who you interviewed, she just simply says, okay, okay, okay. And she's listening so well. I'm like, yeah, I think her okays are like check marks. Like, yep.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah,
I got these are this. Approval, right?
Yeah, like, I lead a parenting ministry. Therapist. Yeah, I know what's up.
She's a therapist who specializes in attachment and trauma.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So that's why he called her. Like, she knows her stuff.
She's amazing. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what's up. And then she basically goes, so leave all of that in the car. Don't bring any of that up. Your parts need to be, you need to ask yourself a question. What are you so fearful of? If you don't mention that, what are you so scared of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, that's going to take a while to unpack. She's like, and then she said, after I was thinking that, she's like, that's going to take a while to unpack. And I was like, crap, she knows what she's talking about. So I was like, okay.
Put your shirt back on.
Yeah.
I can hear your shirt not on.
I could hear your shirt not on.
Hear your skin.
What does skin sound like? Anyway.
That was the name of my first R&B album.
I cannot wait. Okay, so anyway, moving fast forward, we end up doing this, you know, she's like, leave all that in the car and just be with him. Be curious about his life. Mm. Just ask him questions. Don't try to parent him. Just try to be with him. And I was like, this can't be this simple. Like, I am supposed to bring out the, you know, we got to go here. And so I just took her at her word, and we went to this spot. The first restaurant was closed. The second restaurant was closed. Like, bend in the middle of the week in the winter. People are like, what's happening? Nothing. And so we finally find this pizza shop, and he just starts like, I'm like, so how's work going? How is life going? And like immediately he just starts opening up and just telling me every part of his life. And, and honestly, like we go from pizza and then we go on a stogie walk, which we call it. And I won't say more, but you can imagine what that is. And we're walking.
No shirts.
And we're going on a walk, and we're just like having some of the deepest conversations I think to date we've had, not because we haven't been close, but because like I just didn't get in the way.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how much that detail really impacted like my connection with him. We're driving home and he's like, we found this spot. He's like, you want to get milkshakes? I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a grown man. And so we get milkshakes and we're sitting in the car, and that's when Moses, so John Mark's son, one of his sons, Moses, of course his name's Moses, literally, he's so funny. One of the funniest humans in the whole world. He FaceTimes.
They should get Moses on their podcast.
Would love, talking about horror farming. That guy would kill. Anyway, he literally just, we have a group text, and he just pushes the FaceTime button to see if anyone will answer.
On the family group chat.
So this is like 20,
oh, I love that.
20 people. So Jude, John Mark's other side, John Mark, myself, like almost the whole family just picks up
FaceTime.
And it was just like random FaceTime for the family. And, you know, Duke and I are sitting there, and we're just talking, connecting with the family. And the funniest phrase, because we've talked about John Mark several times now, so we can say it one more time. Is we're
this
like there.
This episode brought to you
brought
by,
to you by John Mark Gomer.
Yeah, practicing the way.
Yeah, he won't be bummed.
Ministries.org/
Donate now.
Donate now.
See, now he won't be bummed. But it was so funny because we're like sitting there and it just looks like we're just sitting there drinking milkshakes in the dark. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, I mean, we're hanging out. We did this, and now we're drinking milkshakes. And Moses goes, that sounds like a lot. My dad would not be fine with that. And they're sitting in the same room. They're sitting in the same room.
Oh, both faced.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. So,
well, you know, I think this is something I find a lot. And I don't, you know, my oldest is only 13. But I think this is true without the data to prove it, which is a dangerous sentence to start. I've seen it in smaller ways, but I think one of the great sort of fleecing of parents in Christendom is this idea that things have to be overcomplicated to be potent.
Yeah.
And I think something that I'm already seeing with my son is that really the goal is to keep the channels open.
Yes.
It's not that you got to shove information into them.
Yeah.
It's just that in those moments, because I think this is what I really think I get wrong, and I assume probably other people do too. One of the great gifts God gives us that it is also really painful in the wrong context is that we always want to be in communion with our parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are built. Nobody gets to go. Now, it can break, but anybody wants to know their dad and mom love them.
Yeah.
And that they're respected and admired and cherished. Mm-hmm. And that is the North Star God puts in everybody.
Yeah.
And it is a nightmare for some people. It's a blessing for others.
Yeah.
And everybody in the middle. But I think as a parent, we forget that. And so we think that we're fighting against the current.
Yeah.
Our kid is going one way and we're going the other. And that's not true. Mm. Now, they're going through seasons. I mean, it's that, you know, Lisa helped us understand so well. They're going through seasons where chemically it does feel that way.
Yes.
And it feels like they're pushing. And in some ways, they are. But they still, the bend for both of us is still the same way.
Yeah.
And I think I can overcomplicate that by going, okay, to compensate for what I'm feeling, I got to double down on, let's have these conversations and these conversations, and then I can go to bed that night feeling like, when I think what God is doing is like, hey, man, like, he loves you. Mm. It doesn't feel like that.
Yes.
He already implicitly wants your approval.
Yes, sir.
He wants to know what you think about him. It may not present that way for this season of his life, but he does.
Yeah.
So just know that. And then lean into it. Be there when he wants to talk. Mm-hmm. And maybe every now and then you need to dig a little bit, whatever. But I just think, if Satan is fleecing parents, and I would say all I know is to be a dad, dads, it is like, hey, bro, you got to put in a shift.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God. And he's like, So, and then you mess it up and he's like, ha ha ha, gotcha. And you're like, oh, well, I'll need to just sit and like have some milkshakes and be quiet. And every now and then he's going to go, you know what I was thinking about today? And you're like, oh, shoot, here we go. Well, tell me, son. I was I wasn't even thinking we'd talk about this, but what do you want to do? But I just think like that's
so true.
I know we talk about, John and I talk about that so much.
100%.
It's like, I do think there's this thing we do where we can overcomplicate.
Yes.
Because we want so badly to have great relations and to be great parents. And I really believe God's like, hey, I sort of made this easier than you think it is.
Yes.
We've heard this so much, but you know, professionals come on and they'll say, listen, I mean, Raising Boys and Girls says this all the time.
Yeah.
You just wanting to be a good mother or a good dad is about 80% of it. Because it means you're thinking about it. And if you're thinking about it, you're probably acting into it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think for me, it just gives me so much relief when I think about, and I love that story with your son because it's encouraging to me because I don't know a parent who is trying to be intentional. It's not going, okay, oh, I have 30 minutes. Here we go.
Dude, it's the backside weakness of intentionality. So if there is a backside weakness to this, I think that is it. Yeah. It's that we want it so bad that sometimes we actually choke it out by doing too much.
That's right.
So I couldn't agree more. And that is, we're at this age and stage of life with the existence of the internet where we know so much.
Yeah. Yes.
So now we can calculate and see how we're damaging our kids. Mm-hmm. And now we have language to the kinds of therapy they will need. Like, you're going to need EMDR for that traumatic experience that you just had with me. And I think there's times when it's like, dude, knowledge is good, but without wisdom of where to apply it and how.
Yeah.
I think so much of like raising boys and girls as an example and what you guys are doing with Dadville is you're saying, hey, just as a reminder, like, it's okay. You can know all this stuff, but here's the wisdom of
how to actually apply it. Yeah.
And that's where we need more help is guys like yourself who are sitting in the realness of life saying, oh, like, here's all the noise, but here's really at the end of the day, here's the stuff that really matters.
Because you know, I can't remember who we talked about this. We had somebody on the pod and we talked about this recently. I really think at the end of the day, all we're really trying to make sure is that our kids know we love them. If you can consolidate really all we're trying to do, if that's the wisdom we're giving them, if it's the direction we're giving them, it's really just to know, hey, you know that I love you and I'm here for you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I think that is just so baked in, like barring some colossal train wreck. And even then, if we apologize, that tends to be okay at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think like, and so I don't know. It doesn't sound like something God would ever do to go, I'm gonna make you have offspring. And then, man, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, nothing about the way God created the universe screams.
Yes. If you don't get it right.
You don't, yeah.
Yeah.
It, I'm gonna get everything you. Is facing the same direction, moving the same way.
You're so
and so
right.
I really think on my deathbed, I really think that's something I'm going to wish I had known younger. Mm-hmm. Is like, it's really more about just not screwing it up. That's it. It's not, you're not going to do something if you have good intent for your kids. It's going to be so colossal that you're like, and then for 30 years.
We never talked about
it. Isn't it funny how like you say you're not going to do something to like probably mess this up colossally. And probably on the other side of the coin is like, you're probably also not going to do something that's going to just shoot your kids straight to Harvard.
You know? And like, as if that's the goal,
I wish I could remember the actual stats on this, but something like, or the history of the actual word parenting, it like wasn't in the lexicon until the 1950s or something like that.
Interesting.
And obviously there are gains that we have experienced in the last, you know, however many years in parenting and being empathetic, you know, again, Dr. Lisa Nomura, everything that she's doing, it's like, you know, I'm not sure how many parents 75 years ago were thinking on this level.
No.
But I think parenting in that moment that you were talking about with your son, it's like you were ready to parent.
Dude, I was ready.
And your friend was like, easy.
You're doing stretches.
Oh, I was ready to
parenting is going to get in the way of the night that you had with your son.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, dude. That's beautiful.
You know?
He's not all looks either,
no,
right?
Listen, this is
he's not all looks either.
That's why I don't let him talk much.
Yeah, yeah. I see. Boy, now I get why you don't do video.
He gets ahead of me quickly.
I see it now. That is so well said. That I mean, even as you're saying that in real time, I appreciate that because I think it's actually clicking in me in a deep way of, is one of the beautiful side effects of what we all get to do is like, I get to learn in real time from you connecting that dot and realizing like, my parenting was getting in the way.
Yeah.
And, which is what we, maybe more so dads than moms, I don't know. We default to doing, you know, we default to like, okay, what's my game plan to fix or whatever.
Yeah, dude, I'm always trying to fix my kids. And she's always trying to fix me. It's a great,
it's a circle. Really,
she's like, you don't want to be that man. I was like, but I am that man right now, so I'm going to need you to give me space.
Well, you know, don't y'all feel like one of the other struggles is, if I think about like when I've really been with the Lord and I feel that connection and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and that, you know, all of that fruit of the Spirit that comes from that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How I parent after that is so different and so different. Less about me.
Yes.
Yes.
Same and it day. Just looks so dramatically different and less yep. agenda heavy and less yep. like. Yes.
Less fear based.
It's well, so less fear. It's beautifully said.
Yeah. Because it's so often it's our fear that causes us right. to let our parenting get in the way of our parenting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because we're afraid of all these future yeah. things totally. And what they could become. I think I shared this on an episode we did recently, but I was just studying Matthew 18 when it talks about the disciples are asking who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus calls over a little child and said, unless you become like one of these children, you won't experience the kingdom of heaven, which to people at that time, they would have understood unless you become incredibly weak and needy and vulnerable, not really able to offer a lot, but just poor. Need a lot.
Yeah, yeah
exactly. No money. If you become like that, you'll experience the kingdom of heaven, which just means experiencing all of who God is in your everyday life, like wherever the rule and reign of God is, that's where the kingdom of heaven is. And then it goes on to say, whoever welcomes one of these little children yes. welcomes yeah. me. So just by like literally changing the whole way we think about parenting, right? Where we think is we are supposed to do all these things to unfold our kids, right? Which, yes, there's truth to that. But also we're supposed to learn from them. We're supposed to become more like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's so much beauty and simplicity in that. How do we learn to be like them? By just being with them, letting them be yeah. who they are, not trying to make them somebody that they're not or make them older than they are.
Well, and again, our yeah. agendas,
yes.
my agenda, this like
oh, yes.
our kids, it's I, so much of my parenting is such a selfish task.
Yeah.
And I think like that's where I have to, and it can seem really great because, you know, you can read a million books, whatever, but if you really, if Jesus sat with me and was like,
yeah.
Why are you reading that? It'd be like, boof. what's another question you can ask?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
because it really is yeah. about, again, I want to know that either people see me as a great dad
yeah.
or my kids think I'm awesome
mm-hmm.
or, man, I don't want my story to be theirs in some way.
Yeah.
Or, but really, that's still me. There's well, not a benevolence to that.
It's the fear thing that our friend Sally said. I mean, when she asked me that question, what are you so fearful of, like what happens if, what you're naming, someone said fear is at the root of almost all of our spiritual
yeah.
problems.
Yeah.
I'll give you one clue who it was.
Yeah.
This guy again, Jean-Marc. But I think that's really true. Fear is like a big root of a lot of our spiritual struggle, and I could not agree more with that, because when I actually peel back the layer and the layer and the layer, it's a fear that I don't want to do it like my family did in certain ways. And then it's a fear that I'm not giving them all that they need. There's fear in both directions, by the way, like what we do to them and what we could never give them.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the thing that is like almost a debilitating loop of fear, where it's like, I don't have the skills to even give them. And then what I can is not enough. And like, you know, it gets,
you know, yeah. you know what I wonder sometimes, I've started doing this weird exercise in my brain where I'm like, if somebody told me right now, hey, they're really going to be okay.
Oh, dude, wouldn't that be so nice?
I mean, can
like,
you
how
imagine?
Would it change how
yes.
I parent right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody said, out. Hey, they're, because here's the thing, the percentages are they really are going to be.
Yeah.
They're, sure,
yeah.
they're going to have problems. They're
right.
going to have.
Yeah.
But they're probably going to be okay. If we believe what we say we believe,
mm-hmm.
they're probably going to
yeah.
be okay. And so I think for me, it's become an interesting exercise to kind of go like, because Lord, you've actually told me that you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I say I believe that.
Yeah.
So how can I really freely care for my kids in a way that they're yours, because they are,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's going to be okay. And
yeah.
it really adjusts my vertebrae.
Yeah.
I sort of feel, oh man, okay, yeah, why am I acting like this? Or
yeah.
if it's going to be all right, I probably wouldn't be worried about that with him, and then I probably wouldn't be pushing so hard on this thing with her.
Yeah, dude.
You
yeah.
know, and going, no, I just, what is peaceful parenting? Maybe that's
yeah.
that's a podcast before a vegetarian.
Yeah, peaceful mm-hmm. parenting.
Peaceful parenting.
But what would that look like as opposed
yeah.
to sort of a constant,
there we go.
You know, I think that is the thing that's so tricky. And you spoke to this earlier, Brooke, but it's like, you know, there's so much noise and so much it's good noise. But I think what it does is, I know for me, it makes my heart rate just kind of slowly.
Yeah.
Because you just know so much. And somebody's like,
yeah.
you know what we know now? And you're like, oh boy, I got to know this. Like, we know that
yeah.
if kids see a TV in the room,
dude,
their anxiety increases by 0.2. And you're like, we got to get rid of TVs.
So, well, dude, yeah. someone came into me today and we're talking about, like, so we travel. You guys travel. we end up traveling more for work, and so we have a coffee set up because we appreciate Dadville Coffee. Where is that?
Thank
there
you
it is. Yeah, Dadville Coffee as a yeah. Please go buy that on coffee. Wherever you can yes. buy it. But we love coffee, so we have a little coffee travel setup. She does. I do. We just like coffee. It's way easier than going out in the morning. Like, it's just consistent.
You're speaking this guy's love.
We're gonna. No, I would love to hear about your
start
travel.
Another podcast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The travel coffee pod.
Peaceful parenting. Caffeinated parenting.
Yeah.
You need all that.
But what? But someone told us today. Someone on our team said, "Oh, I don't use." Like you're asking our coffee setup. Like, I don't use, you know, coffees, pots, and hotels anymore because, you know, like, you don't know what's in them, and they're just they're infested with mold and all this. I was like, what is your algorithm? Like, yeah. fear-based yeah. algorithm. Like, is everything yeah. just like a problem?
It
and
is.
They're like,
yeah,
I never sit in a bathtub because of the – and if there's a jacuzzi tub, all those wires are full of mold. And I was like, I can't do anything now yeah. without being like, yeah. is it going to kill yeah. me or whatever? And yeah. so, yeah, I agree. I think it's just creating this really interesting –
well, yeah. and as a parent, you just you and yeah. again, I think some of the intent is really great because you're
yes.
like, hey, we just found in the study this happens, but at the same time, you're like, gosh, it's just so much data points, so many data points to like try to live in proximity to that will just eventually drive you crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, I think Jesus again says, hey, my burden is easy and my yoke is
yes.
light. Like
yeah.
this is not what I do. I don't
yeah.
give you weight. I
no.
take the weight from you. But to do that, like you said so beautifully, Elizabeth, you need to be like a kid.
Yeah.
And if you can be like a mm-hmm. kid and your parent, like what does that look like? What does it look like to be a kid in parenting would be a really interesting thought. You know, like what
oof.
What does that look like? You know?
yeah.
Well, I think even back to the fear thing, though, of like unless a kid, there are kids who really struggle with anxiety. So maybe mm-hmm. fear is a part of a lot of their moments throughout the day. But kids move on from fear really quickly for
yeah.
the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a moment where they're afraid because the light's off in the room.
Yeah.
You turn the light on, their fear's gone.
Yeah.
And so I think back to that, it's so easy to parent out of fear, like really learning from them of like they're really, especially when they're little, they have no idea that they could fall off the thing they're walking on and
right.
get a concussion or break their leg. Like they just think it's really fun to be up on the coffee table walking,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No fear. And I think there's so much we can learn from just that childlikeness and the innocence
mm-hmm.
because they trust their parents.
Yeah.
Again, back to like
yeah.
that God is actually in control. Do we actually believe that?
Mm.
And I think, yes, some all the information that we now have, some of that's really good, right?
Yeah.
I also think it's another one of the enemy's tactics for parents
oh, absolutely.
To get us so stuck in fear
yeah.
and trying so hard to be intentional and do a good job that we absolutely miss presence
yeah.
and just being
right.
with them.
Well, and you know,
presence,
too, the
yeah.
other thing that I've thought that's about lately is just intent. I mean, this again, this is the water y'all swim in with your podcast, but I think like, I think you and I just talked about this in a conversation the other day, but I think a new barometer for me with my kids is do they know the intent of what I'm doing, whether I'm doing it or not? Like, and I think that's really become an important thing to me is that my kids can go, you know, he doesn't always stick the landing, but I know he loves me. I know he's trying to do the right thing. And
yeah,
because and that's been a really helpful thing for me because it's gotten me out of like the execution.
Yes.
Always having to be
yes.
spot on.
Yes.
But I think that my kids would see that's been a big connection point for me with each of them is just trying to make sure that one thing I'm fostering in my relationship with each of them as we're tethered in the ways we are is to go, do you know my intent? And I think I feel like they do, that's like been a good barometer for
yeah.
me. It's like,
yeah.
okay, there's a connection. You know what I'm
yes.
trying to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see my love for you when I'm trying. And that's been really helpful because it takes it out of the execution to like, you know where my heart is and who I am
yeah.
in relation to you, as opposed to going like, you know, is this working? Like
yes.
everything I'm trying to do.
yes.
That awkward conversation when you're driving home and you're like, I am swinging and missing.
Uh-huh.
But I think if I stop in that moment, we go, hey, bud, do you see? And he'd be like, yeah, I mean, you know, you're trying to talk to me and you're trying
yeah.
to get
yes.
to know me more. I just want to
totally.
Talk right now. Like, great.
Yes.
Well, and knowing your kid's so important because I was thinking about back to the Camino. That's a callback, guys. That's what that's called.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. The Camino piece, like if I took my son on the Camino, I was like, son, we're going to end Primal Path with the Camino.
Yeah.
He'd probably try to kill me on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his personality would be like, This is more
terrible.
For you than me.
Mm-hmm.
I like the push, but like I'm dying. He'd probably try to kill me,
yeah.
you know, and realizing like that's not a gift to him.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's the hard thing about models that are
that's
so strong
point.
Sometimes
yeah.
is that like you think that because someone did it that way with their particular set of relational dynamic,
yeah,
that means that's the gold standard or the best. Yeah. And I think that's it's what we're saying is actually harder and better, which is you got to learn your kid, learn what's great. Yep. The Camino for for that kid might not, it might be Disneyland for one, or like, hey, like that, an idea of a trip is just too much. Like, so that's what I mean. It's like, it is trickier than that. And it's,
isn't it funny too? I don't know if you saw this growing up in the church like you did, but John and I've laughed at it. We'd have a few. I love when we have people and we get to talk about this with them, but that was something kind of growing up in the 80s and 90s in Christendom and church culture.
Mm-hmm. That was us.
Was that there was parents, like there was kind of like, and I think everybody meant well. Like, I don't think this was, the intent was ever, it was just what we knew at that time. And that's what got propagated. But like, hey, this is how you discipline your kids.
100%.
Dude.
All
of them.
All of them.
This way. And boy, so, and the problem was you'd have one kid, you're like, this is working like a charm with child two.
Preach.
Child one and three, what's wrong with y'all?
Yes.
And I think like that's something we've seen having guests on Dadville that's been really helpful for me is the smart ones go like, hey, you actually, parenting is actually getting to know each of your kids and disciplining them, loving them, like paying attention in different ways. And man, is that more work. It's rewarding work, but it is so much harder than, hey, we subscribe to this parenting style and it overlays all of you.
Well,
you
know? What's hard about it is that you can't then be like, you know, check the fear box of like, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing the plan.
Yeah.
So now that assuages my fear.
Yes, I can.
You gotta let go of that, you know. Method, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is scarier.
It's so much scarier. Yeah. It was so much more engaged.
Yeah.
Because you have to become a student of your kids.
There you go.
Like, I mean, in our world, most of our kids are neurodivergent in some way.
Wow.
One more severely than the rest. And all of our parenting has had to change with her.
Yeah.
Which then means her sister below her, who's the youngest, has to be parented very different than the older two were.
Yeah.
Because for us, it's just not sat well. For discipline to look different for her than it does for her older sister. They're 2 years apart.
Well, it's different, but it's not extremely different.
Yeah. And so it's like if we had tried to apply what worked for our older two, and I would say some similar things worked for them. If we had tried to apply that to our younger two, we would have destroyed them.
Yeah.
Because it was absolutely not what Birdie needed. Yeah. She needed, but to still be able to parent effectively and to still give her boundaries and all of that, we've had to massively become learners of subjects we never set out to be learners of.
Yeah.
And be in therapies we never planned to be.
And we don't go on vacation. We do go to therapy.
We do. And
y'all go to therapy in beautiful places. Yeah. Like, can we just
it's
do
true.
That?
It's true.
Well, actually, not to derail though, but the phrase that, as far as like this idea, the phrase that, I don't know if you were growing up, but like your kids will say, well, that's not fair, right? Like, I don't know if you have this. And my parents had this really interesting thing where they were like, we have to do what's fair. So whatever we do for the oldest one, we do for all of them. And then they meant that with discipline. Mm-hmm. And they equated fair to equality. But fair actually, and again, one of our therapists, very helpful, is what is good for that person's brain and body. So that might look for what's fair for Birdie is very different what's fair for Sloan. Yeah. Because Birdie needs different things. Yeah. And Sloan does. And now your kids are not going to, they're going to equate the natural human level, which is like, they got that, I didn't get this, this is not fair. Well, it's like, you're also lactose intolerant, so ice cream will destroy your stomach and our home.
Right.
I was going to say. So everybody suffers.
Talk about dairy air. That's free.
Wow, bringing that one back home.
I just want to say this. Anyone listening to this podcast on the Intentional platform, please do yourself a giant favor and follow what Dadville's doing.
So that's what I wanted to land the plane. We've become pro lately, and it's been a big step for us is that we finally started asking people at the end of podcasts if they have to promote anything.
It's 4 or 5 years.
We had like literally 4 years in, John and I were like, we should probably ask.
Do we ask when we interview? Do we ask people that?
I mean, we could probably.
I think we say, where can people find you?
Well, I know y'all have things going on. You talked
about. That's something. That's more than what we're
doing. Actually, this is fun. Yeah, so for all the dads listening, Justin Whitmell Early, his chest hair and his brain and his whole person and myself. And he's a great guy. We're going to be together doing an intentional fatherhood conference. We have some surprise guests coming, which are going to be fun. And it's in Costa Mesa in February on purpose because it's where's warm gorgeous at that time
that's
of the year.
That's right.
Full invite for you boys. We'll chat about it offline. But So that's happening. We have a motherhood retreat. We've been doing them on the West Coast, but we're doing our first Nashville-based Franklin in April.
Factory. Okay.
At the Factory, April 23 through 24.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing.
23 through 25. And tickets are all on sale on our website, intentionalparents.org. You can check that out. But those are the two main ones. We are going to be announcing a marriage retreat soon, which will be fun. And then...
your book.
Sowing a Hidden Seed. Yeah, so we just... guys, I'm so pro that I did not bring them to you. So we're going to get addresses. I can't wait to send it to you. But yeah, it's a 31-day prayer devotional, Sowing a Hidden Seed. And it's simply like 1 minute. It's a verse, it's a quote, and it's a prayer written out. And each day what we decided to do was just to take a topic that you would most likely be scared of, fear-based, right, over your kids, like mental health, anxiety, sexual purity. Do they get married? So each one is like a topic of the day. There's a verse, a quote, and a prayer over that topic. It takes 1 minute. The reason that we did it this way is because we know in culture in the moment, like, time is precious, raising kids, having a job, all that's hard. So yeah, if that's helpful, you can get that on our website. We did that on purpose because we wanted to be able to have control over design, and Amazon does not play nice with design.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, that's all on our website. You can put stuff in show notes. But yes, that's our world. But how about you guys? What can we promote in your space? Dadville, give us all the goodies.
Dave's got some new music that's
about
to drop. Actually, I mean, it'll be out by this time, but in a matter of hours. New music coming out.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, tomorrow is when? Tomorrow's Friday.
Is everything okay? Are you in a safe place? You need use words. We know that you're okay. Yeah. Safe words. Yeah, tomorrow was Friday.
I don't know, dude. I'm a little bored
right
now.
And then John has a new album that came out.
I just put an album out.
3 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago?
2 weeks?
We've been listening to it all week in the car, by the way.
Have you?
Yes,
great.
We're wearing it out.
Yeah, I just put an album out called Scenarios.
It is really great. And then he's doing, I don't know when this come out, but a bunch of Christmas shows.
I'm doing a bunch of shows with my friend Ben Rector.
We're actually
coming to Costa Mesa.
Who?
Are you really?
It's pronounced Rector.
Rector.
Yeah, he's playing with a bunch of orchestras all around the States. So I'm going to go with him.
Okay, so literally last night we're with Addison Brevere. You guys know the Brevere crew? Yes, we're with him. And we're with Jeff Bethke at his place. And he literally goes, you know, obviously you know Ben Rector. And then Addison did not know who Ben Rector was. And what my favorite part wasn't that Addison didn't know. It was how many hours it took Jeff to get over the fact that he didn't know. And so he starts listing songs, like just convinced that he just needs a photo and a song list and he'll
know. That's my favorite argument
No, I don't think I've seen him. And then he starts playing songs. He's like, I don't know if I've heard that one. And he's like, where have you been? He couldn't hold it.
Where have you been, Rector?
Yeah.
Look at that.
It's something I can't turn off.
How many shows do you have like during this next season, John?
Well, I have a bunch of Christmas shows coming up. 13 Christmas shows.
That's amazing.
Coming up. And then Ben and I think are doing 20 or 21.
And it start when are those? Shows?
When do those start?
June.
They start in February
through June.
Okay. Through Good. June, like mid June.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll put if we can, there. What we'll do is we'll put all that stuff in the show notes. So come see these guys. Have you guys? Okay, this is on the pod, but who cares? Have you guys ever done a live Dadville podcast?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Can we?
At the White House in February, and it's gonna be. They don't know we're gonna be there.
Once they're done with the construction,
on the lawn.
It'll be the first
thing they do.
The opening night.
Could you imagine how much of a bummer that would be? Wait, who? For what? Dadville?
A podcast?
What is that?
It's a 21st
century. That's like something that we're working on.
Okay.
So, I'd love to chat with you guys about that. That's a fun thing. I'm just literally in real time processing this. You guys understand how much of an amazing evening that would be with
that
the musical?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're already doing this. You're already so smart, but I'm just telling you, I'm coming. So just tell us when.
Yeah.
But I would sign up for that.
Yeah,
in a
works.
Yeah.
White House next year, February.
Yeah, White House.
White House February. Got it. I'll make sure to
White
be
House,
there.
Tennessee.
Also any particular day in February or just kind
you'll
of...
have to drive and find us. you'll feel the energy.
It will not be publicized.
Thank you all for doing
thank
this.
Thank you
guys.
For coming on.
Thank you.
A fun dual cast, a pod.
Yeah.
What did we call it?
Copod.
I like dual cast.
Dual cast.
Put your shirt back on.
Yeah.